Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back. And to Britain now, and the phone hacking scandal, which has spread to another arm of Rupert Murdoch's media empire there. Today, the head of Sky News acknowledged to a panel investigating journalistic standards that the company did indeed hack emails, breaking the law. He also admitted that earlier his television station misled the senior judge leading the panel, and he apologized. Of course, you remember Rupert Murdoch was forced to close his top-selling newspaper, The News of the World, after the revelations that reporters hacked into people's emails, cell phones, and also bribed sources. Murdoch and his son James are scheduled to answer questions from the so-called Leveson Inquiry, named after Judge Brian Leveson, later this week. The BBC's Rob Watson joins us from London. So, Rob, previously, Sky News denied they'd intercepted any communications.
That is right, and that was one of the awkward moments for the Sky News editor, because he had to say to the Inquiry, whoops, when I came before you before and said we hadn't done any hacking at Sky Television News, he was forced to say, well, of course, we had. It's not, of course, new in Britain that there had been this case of hacking, because a few weeks ago Sky had said that they had done this, but they had defended it, saying, unlike perhaps other cases of hacking, this was clearly in the public interest, and they implied that they very much had the backing of police and prosecutors in this particular case, because they had, after all, uncovered fraud for which somebody was eventually prosecuted.
This is the case that John Riley points to, hacking the accounts of John and Anne Darwin. They're the so-called canoe couple. They became notorious in Britain after John Darwin faked his own death in a boating accident as part of an elaborate insurance scam. So John Riley saying, you know, this was sort of a necessary evil, but what is the legal weight there? I mean, is this hacking inquiry going to accept that it's okay to hack if someone's seen as a villain, but not okay if they're not?
Well, this was the other unfortunate moment for John Riley, where the head of the inquiry, Judge Leveson, interrupted at one point and said, are you saying that hacking is in some way legal, that this is okay? And there was a bit of a pause, and looking somewhat like a naughty schoolboy, he said no. He was also asked whether this was something within the broadcasting guidelines in Britain, and again Mr. Riley said no.
But John Riley also said to the panel, it's highly unlikely in the future that Sky will consider breaking the law, to which the panel replied, wait, you're not ruling it out? And he said, well, I'm pretty much ruling it out, but there might be an occasion, but it would be very, very rare.
This is something that we've seen before at the Leveson Inquiry, and we've certainly seen it before in the broader defence of freedom of the press in Britain. And I think we're going to see a lot more of it in the next couple of days, and that is newspapers and other broadcast media saying, well, not that we're promising or threatening future law-breaking, but they are very keen on this idea of a public interest defence. And of course, the case that comes most prominently to mind is the expose of the MP's expenses here, swimming pools and duck ponds and all this kind of thing, mm-hmm. and moats being cleaned around houses. Now, of course, the particular paper involved in that expose, the Daily Telegraph, had essentially had to pay a civil servant and had to pay a contact for information. So the way they got it, if you like, was illegal. Now, as far as I know, there isn't a single politician brave enough to say, well, he shouldn't have broken the law. So I think we're always going to see the media in Britain wanting to reserve that right of a public interest defence against allegations of criminal wrongdoing.
And by the way, does Britain have a Supreme Court? You know, the idea that, well, let's let them break the law again and do hacking again and take it all the way to the Supreme Court, which, of course, we have here.
Absolutely. And, of course, the media have gone lots of times to the courts in Britain to say, well, I know that someone has objected to this, the way in which we got this story or to this story, but I guess what the Leveson Inquiry wants to look at is not always the exceptional cases, the really striking things like MPs' expenses. But I think what they've been more worried about is, what do you do about levels of privacy that ordinary individuals or famous individuals should enjoy? And how should the process of checks and balances and redress work without necessarily having to go to the, I guess you might call it the nuclear option of having to go to the Supreme Court? So I don't think that the Leveson Inquiry is really intending to deal with these really big cases. cases. It's more the day-to-day operation of the press in Britain.
Well, meanwhile, this week, James Murdoch, Rupert Murdoch's son, is scheduled to testify tomorrow, in fact. He resigned as executive chair of News International in February because of this hacking scandal. He and his father have already testified before Parliament over this. How will the testimony for James Murdoch be different tomorrow?
I think it'll be different in the sense that the Leveson inquiry, it's also looking at the relationship between the powerful people in the press, its owners, and the politicians. So I think you're going to see a lot of questioning of both James Murdoch and I think even more of his father, Rupert, in, well, what exactly is it that you get from the contacts that you've had with politicians? And so although James Murdoch is clearly going to face an awful grilling, one presumes, about the kind of things that went wrong at News International under his watch, I suspect politicians of all colours are going to be rather nervous about what the Murdochs will say over the next couple of days about how the politicians have courted them.
We know that in the testimony in July, Rupert Murdoch talked about visiting Downing Street and being friendly with both Gordon Brown and David Cameron. Meanwhile, what's the public feeling there? Rupert Murdoch always positioned himself as a man of the people, you know, taking down the giants. What's the sense of people there now about him?
I've always got the sense that people have never really much warmed to him one way or another over the last 40, 50 years that he's been involved in the media in the UK. But I think what's much more interesting is the attitude of the politicians and the elite, who, of course, have spent the last few decades courting Rupert Murdoch, hoping that his newspaper and media empire were going to support this or that cause or campaign. Now, they have clearly turned against Rupert Murdoch in a very major way. It's been quite striking, some might say rather sick-making, to see how all these people that wanted to rush to his various annual parties have now turned against him. So that's the interesting thing, rather than how does he figure with the British public. I guess one super interesting question to ask would be, how does Rupert Murdoch feel about Britain these days?
Meaning, might he just pull up stakes and take his toys and leave?
I don't think there's any sign of that, and certainly the broadcasting, the pay-per-view broadcasting here is extremely profitable and extremely successful, but I think some have speculated that perhaps when Rupert Murdoch in particular appears before the Leveson inquiry, people aren't expecting him to take it lying down, and there's been plenty of stuff in the media in Britain suggesting that he's very angry with politicians who he feels have let him down, people that had previously courted his approval. So I don't think he's going to be too shy necessarily about letting his feelings be known.
The BBC's Rob Watson in London. Rob, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Quick note, tomorrow the BBC's Owen Bennett-Jones will be in our studios. He's already arrived, wearing his Red Sox. He'll be here tomorrow, Here and Now.